B-Pod Studios.
Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina on the Fanatic. Hey, Chuck.
I'm very disappointed that he had to come out with stuff like that. If he won the Super Bowl, I bet you nobody would have said anything.
Well, winning cures all ills, as they say, Chuck.
I know.
But I don't know the validity of any of it either, and I find it hard to believe. And
I do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Wentz, and you guys have said numerous amounts of times after interviews, he always seems to say the right things. Is that fake? I don't feel like it's fake. I feel like he's a good guy. I'm a pretty good judge of character. Maybe I'm wrong.
Chuck, the one thing for me, I don't know, tell me if you agree with this, Ann. Like, I'm just seeing kind of some of the verbiage in some of these sourced quotes, and they, for lack of a better term, they don't pass the sniff test for me. It's just not the way I think that players would speak.
Yeah, it's...
No.
Yes, I agree.
I got another thing to say real quick before y'all cut me off. I do not like the way this, you know, I finally got to watch a Sixers game. I was excited. My wife's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching Sixers. She goes, what? I was like, yeah, you know, they got me all up into Philly love now. I watch everything Philadelphia, you know, and I was glad to get down and watch the game. What a great game. But boy, Ben, you got to shoot that shot, bro. I was really disappointed that he didn't shoot that shot. I would rather us talk about him missing the shot than him passing up the shot. The Butler already did his job. He already got them right there to the end with the lead. You know, I know Paul George shot an amazing shot, but Ben, you know, you're the storyline of the guy that doesn't shoot the ball. Why don't you become the storyline of the guy who shot the ball, miss or make?
I think people's frustration more, Chuck, comes from the fact that the lack of willingness to shoot the ball. I think we would understand if he shot it and didn't make it. Eventually, you hold him accountable for what he makes. But at this point, we're just go, dude, at least try it. Yeah, at least take the shot.
You got to go to the rim.
Something.
You got to go to the rim. You have to.
He's got such an aversion.
You can't be afraid to go to the line. It's a shame. Like, you know, it really hurts you. Really, really hurts you.
Yeah, you can't have him taking himself out of a game.
It was a great basketball. It was a great game, though. I enjoyed it immensely.
It was as entertaining a game as you'll get. We just didn't like the end result.
Great sports this weekend, man.
Really was. Yeah, you had that Saturday and then
Duke,
Sunday.
Virginia, I watched.
How about the
Fighting Flyers?
Yeah, they got
to
go
up to Montreal and beat that team.
Well, they survived the first period.
Scored five goals.
Survived the first period behind great goaltending. And
the kid's legit.
It looks good. No
kid's
question.
Kid's legit.
And you're getting goals from guys that you needed all year. Sensational goal, by the way.
I said to Jason, I watched on Saturday, and that was one of the first times in a long time I was entertained.
No, they play
watching
well.
The Flyers.
I watched it too. They
fly
play well.
Up and down the ice. That's what that Montreal team does too. Brave in Jersey joins us on the fact. How you doing, Brave?
How you doing? Long time, Mr. Gargano. Listen, I pulled out my Webster's dictionary today and I looked up the word choke, and I saw Andy Reid's picture in there.
Really?
So before we started lacking him to the Hall of Fame, let's make sure he wins something, okay?
Wow. All right. You're pretty
well,
mean.
I mean,
pretty,
you know,
pretty
you
mean,
know,
huh?
I never, you know, talk about Jim Schwartz being arrogant and stubborn. Nobody's more arrogant and stubborn than Andy.
Come on. Andy's not arrogant.
Oh, well, listen.
He's not arrogant, Brave. Come on, brother.
Do you remember the news conference when he answered the question?
He's not arrogant. Come on. The least thing. You don't like him, you don't like him. That's fine. But come on. No, he's a Hall of Famer. Say whatever you want.
He hasn't won it. Mr. Gargano, I respect your law, but he's never won anything.
It doesn't matter. Call me Anthony. I'm friends with you. Call me Anthony.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You
bye
got
bye.
It.
Thank
bye
you,
bye.
Sir.
He didn't want to be friends with me. He didn't want to be my friend.
Well. You got enough.
I said, you know, be my friend. Call me Anthony. He didn't want to be my friend.
He elected to go, sir.
Yeah, and hang up. He didn't want to discuss it.
Well, you guys are not meshing. Maybe.
I mean, how's he not a Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Come on. I mean, all right, the guy hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's 1-5 in championship games.
He's won a bunch of games. I mean, I don't know. You know, been doing it for 20 years.
I saw that since 2009, of course, when he was with the Eagles, he's won two playoff games since 2009. One of them was this year, obviously, to get to this championship game. But he's won a lot of games. He's got a good team, and they can be back there next year.
Yo, no. That kid's special.
Did you see that Nagy said that they're interested in Hunt? Nagy was there, of course, coached him.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a story going around. I saw Shefty reported that several teams
I saw
are interested.
Yeah, I saw.
Would you be interested? You need a running back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he did.
Comes with some controversy, but I know. Lurie's never shied away from that.
No, I mean, look, it all depends on if the guy's rehabbed or whatever, is on board and trying to turn his life around.
Do the right thing.
You know the story.
Yeah, you know how you have to sell it.
Will we sell our souls? Yeah, we're sports people. And we need a back.
And he's a good one.
But here's the thing. You got to be on the straight and narrow.
I mean, and contrite.
This has to be.
Nick in Collegeville is on the Fanatic. What's up, Nicky?
Gentlemen, how are we doing, guys? How's everything?
Yo, Nick. What's up, buddy?
And I was enjoying the games, too, but I got to say this. And hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm well.
I loved that the Saints lost. And not only did they lost, but they lost on a clear, blatant, horrific non-call that everybody, including all the referees, a minute later realized they made a major mistake. Because I want those. First of all, the chatterboxes on the team and the fans to suffer knowing that last year it was a crazy fluke play, and this year a call because he stayed in the game, he left his team in the game, and they lost at home. It was great. I loved it. I hate to be that kind of fan. I'm usually not. But all they did was chirp for 24 months.
Yeah, but the thing is, Nick, for me, is it's not good for the NFL to have a blown call miss like that in such a big spot.
Listen, I agree 100% because if it happened to us, I'd be calling crime
Well, it did happen, right? I mean,
Cowboys.
Right. How big is Cowboys? And it was even more egregious. Look, bad calls are going to happen. I mean, it's part of it. I mean, the guy missed the pass interference. All right? Like, that's not the first time that's happened.
Right. Right, and same thing with the Kansas City game. At the end of the day, after that play, they really didn't have a chance. No, they did. They went into overtime. They had a chance, and they didn't win the game. So it's not like they didn't have a chance.
Right, exactly. Happens to the Eagles, right. you're upset, but right. if they have the ball in overtime,
take care of business.
You got to win.
So you want me to talk Spag? Did you? I was listening. Of course, I was listening to Kansas City radio overnight and earlier this morning.
Oh, were you really?
You're a glutton.
What was the tenor?
I love that. The tenor was the defensive coordinator went out. They wanted Bob him Sutton, out as soon as they scored that touchdown. They wanted him out right before that touchdown. They could have driven him to the airport. And guess what? Two names came up.
Steve.
Yeah. Spags. Spags and the one guy they said is Fox. John Fox. So it would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, now listen.
Spags.
Spags, he's got to be the guy.
Right. So that'd be fun. Anyway, the first caller, listen. It's funny how, first of all, the anonymous source, whether it's in papers, whether it's in government, et cetera, it's basically the backbone of our checks and balance system. As a federalist, as a government, as an entity, as a country. And of course, the first caller said he didn't like it because he didn't like the message. If the message was on point and it was a message he wanted to purport to everybody, then he would like the anonymous sources. And for a guy to say, I've written articles and I have sources. Well, then, I don't have to explain it to you, Andy. You know that depending on what type of story you're covering and who the target is, and I don't even want to use the word target because it puts a negative connotation, but who the subject is, sometimes you need anonymous sources to get the story out because it'll never come out. And we've seen it in history, not in sports, in history as a country.
No, you're right. That's it's a great way to put it. Checks and balances. It's a way of gaining information. And like you said, when you worked with the AP, you had to have three separate, unrelated.
Why were it the Post? That people, the Post, a fish wrapper. Now, the Inquirer, which is a great newspaper, and an award-winning newspaper.
Reputable.
You needed three sources, too. But the Post had that three sources. I mean, they were serious about their sports journalism. You can't lose the credibility of the paper with the readers or, particularly like even in New York, you look at that tabloid, they sensationalize what's in the front, but what's on the back was so important because sports journalism was important to them.
Yeah, and you can't ever lose that credibility because it's really hard to ever get it back.
Yeah. This story, I don't know. It doesn't smell right to me. And it just doesn't. It has nothing to do with the message. Just doesn't. I don't know why he gets that story. And Joe's a great guy, the whole thing. I don't want to insult him. But that's a story that beat writer gets.
Yeah, you're trying to find the motivation for them to get that information out, A, and B, to where it went. 610-632-0975. Midday Show, Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez. We're talking about all the championship games yesterday, incredibly compelling NFL action. The story regarding Carson Wentz, Sixers, anything. We're really wide open today, and we'll take whatever you want. And we'd love to talk about actual games.
We like sports. I just want to talk about it. Go through each and every game. Those two games are amazing.
Yeah. I ran a poll yesterday that's still up and running, too, regarding Tony Romo. I want to give you the results of that on the way. Stay tuned.
Yeah, he's the best. He's the best. Really is. Hey, great news if you live downtown or you're headed to a Sixer game, Flyer game, maybe tonight, going down to the game. And yeah, you like the Sixers, right? You want to bet the game before the game starts, or just get your action in and watch multiple games. Parks Racing and Casino now has sports betting at the Turf Club in South Philadelphia right now. That's right, by the stadium, 700 Packer Avenue. You throw a rock and it senses Bank Park for sure. A little further, if you got Mahomes' arm, you can hit the Lincoln and the Wells Fargo Center. Parks Racing and Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino, also has the beautiful sports book at the casino in Bensalem, where we were just a couple weeks ago. And now they're open for sports betting at the Turf Club in South Philly. It's incredible. It's really great stuff, too. They have all the TVs. They have all the kiosks. And now there's two great locations for sports betting right here in Pennsylvania. And all you got to do is you got to check out their Bet Slip Builder, which is an app that they created. Really cool stuff. The South Philly Turf Club and Parks Casino Sportsbook now open. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
O'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Skeeve me.
All right, 11:23 on the Midday Show. Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano on this Martin Luther King Day.
Got a Carson Wentz.
Great basketball day, NBA day. All the games today.
Yeah, it's a big day. And that's the thing, the Sixers used to play during the day. They're the marquee now.
I know.
They're on the marquee, Ann.
3:30 national TV Saturday.
Yeah.
And national TV tonight.
And Saturday, Russell Westbrook invades Philly. And tonight, James Harden, fresh off back-to-back-to-back 50-point games. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. He's fun to watch, too, like Westbrook is. Sensational.
I mean, they're the highlights. But here's the thing. Say what you want. Here's the deal. They're not going to... We know who's going to win the title.
Golden State?
Boogie came back.
Yeah.
All right?
You add him to the mix.
Boogie is rusty, coming off the Achilles tendon, a little out of shape. That team is going to be ridiculous.
Do you worry that upsets the apple cart in any way, though?
No.
With another...
No.
Not that team?
No. I mean, that five is the greatest five in the history of basketball.
Well, who would even come close?
Nobody. Yeah. You can't field a team like that. Curry, Clay, Durant, Draymond, and Boogie. Draymond and Boogie.
That's unreal.
Are you kidding me?
They could all start the All-Star game.
The talent level that they have? It's funny, like the NBA, like we love it and we talk about it. I do. I love it. I get caught up in it all. But it's a league where you know who's going to win. Like, it's you know the ending.
It's a foregone conclusion.
You know the ending. At this point. How are they going to lose?
Yeah, who's going to beat them?
Nobody can beat them.
Yeah. It's been one of my gripes with the NBA. is that
you can't, you, they can't lose. See the beauty of, we watch football and, you know, you had 1-2, and 1-2, and go figure, both road teams win, right?
Eagles go into Chicago and win that game. You know,
exactly.
And they win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles last year. That's the NFL.
Right.
It's the any given Sunday.
And that is the, I mean, that's a huge plus and a huge draw. That you know who's going to win. You know who's going to win the NBA title.
And
you know now.
And even with that said, in football, and the fact that the Patriots have gotten to 9 Super Bowls with this duo, you still are, you didn't know that the Patriots were going to win that game yesterday when the Chiefs went down and scored. You might have felt like Brady was going to bring him back because he had 2 minutes.
Right.
By the time he got the ball, 1:57 on the clock and 3 timeouts, I'm going, oh, boy.
Dude, they didn't use a timeout until
30 seconds.
They were at the 30-yard line.
They went down there.
They didn't even use a timeout.
Didn't need to.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it. They didn't use a timeout.
You ever seen less panic on a group? Like, you see less, like, Foles never panicked. Brady never panics. Belichick, but no, because of their presence, nobody panics. They all look cool as ice. What an atmosphere in KC.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, that game lived up to everything.
Mm-hmm. I think they both did. I think they're both great games.
Yeah, and how the Saints-Rams game started.
13-0.
But how about it, though? You got to get 7. The law, it's amazing because every time you settle for 3, you never win. I mean, they settled for 3 twice.
Yeah, the first 2 drives where they scored, yeah. Well, the Eagles didn't settle. They got 2 touchdowns.
I'll tell you one thing. There's a couple times where I would have went for it on 4th down. Now, the McVay one, it's close. Where he kicks the field goal to tie it.
Okay, that was much talked about.
It's on the road. I don't know what's up with Gurley. I don't know if he's healthy, but he's sulking. I don't know the deal. But
he got tied. Sulking.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he scored the first touchdown, and then he was
powered his way in. Yeah.
So, like, to me, I was looking at that, going, I think I would have went for it because there was so much time that you could have. If you don't get it, you're pinning him down. I mean, I grant you, it's a risk. And then there was one. Am I crazy? So, it doesn't matter because the Chiefs came all the way back. But they're doing nothing in the first half. Partly because New England's holding on to the football. Right? They're running the ball down their throats. The first drive was over 8 minutes. They're on the Chiefs' third drive. They're down 7-0. And it came after the interception. So remember the Brady interception in the end zone? So that drive, they come out and they have a 4th and like a half a yard from their own 30, 35 where it was. Would you go for it?
Against that team, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, against that team because you got to consider everything. You do, and you got nothing happening.
See, here's the thing.
You got nothing happening.
I know old school, you punt, you play it safe.
Play defense.
And you give your, yeah. But A, the Chiefs defense was not a match for that team.
Mm-hmm.
And you need all the possessions you can get.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I like Doug, man. Doug would have probably have gone for it.
Not probably. You know he would have gone for it.
I mean, Doug,
no hesitation.
Doug's got the steel, you know, he's got stones in that. And there are times, like in this day and age, the way the league is, I think you got to go for it in situations like that.
Because you can't just put your defense out there and get a stop like you used to.
Exactly. Now, it's the second quarter, all right? Now, they come back, so it didn't matter, but it's the second quarter. You've done nothing. You finally got momentum because Brady throws the interception. I thought you had to go for it, and that's fine.
That's a spot you got to capitalize. And to your point, New England just 44 minutes of time of possession to basically 20 minutes for KC. Stunning. Two turnovers, too, by the way, for the Patriots. They were -2 in the turnover battle and won the game.
Should have been 3.
But this is why Belichick is a genius. And all due respect to Flores, who may be a good coach. He was going to go down to Miami and be the head coach. But this is why Belichick is a genius. I'm going to, what stood out to you yesterday from the Chiefs?
Other than the fact that he didn't score a point in the first half? I mean, they didn't score a point in the first half.
Yeah, look, from their offense, what did you see?
No Tyreek Hill at all, really.
Yes.
Yeah, they never stretched the field.
Okay.
He was targeted, what, twice?
Listen to this. Three times. One catch, 42 yards. So you say, look, you know what? We're going to roll our coverage, and we're not letting Tyreek Hill beat you, right?
Force you into your weakness.
All right? We're not going to let you beat him. So you got to think somebody else is open, like Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, three catches, 23 yards.
Took him away, too?
They took out Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce a combined four receptions for 65 yards. That's it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, now you got to go to Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. Right.
And beat me with your weakness.
No, but that's Belichick's genius, that he stops those two guys. Pure genius.
How would you like to be D Ford today?
Oh, man.
He basically cost them a trip to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
How about Sorensen, too? I felt bad for that guy because he played his rear end off in the final quarter of that game. That tackle on the fourth down, to shoot that gap and to wrap the legs like he did was tremendous. And I couldn't believe the Patriots ran that play.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Sorensen, the ball deflects off Edelman and he gets the pick and a nice little return, a couple sidesteps in there. And then it's just what, and for Andy, you left too much time on the clock. Some people were saying that the Patriots let him score on that touchdown to get the 2 minutes. Do you believe it?
Yeah, I do.
Do you? That's the savviness of Belichick?
I would have done that too.
Knowing I got Tom Brady and I can go down the field.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's the correct thing to do is let him score.
Yeah, leave yourself as much clock as you can.
Yeah, you need to do that. Rex Burkhardt, 12 carries. He scored two touchdowns. He got 12 carries. That's outrageous, isn't it?
You got him, Michelle.
And he caught four passes. Fullback. Only Belichick has a fullback.
How about the swing pass to him late in the game?
It was a great, play.
Tremendous play. Perfect throw, too, by the way. Did you see Mahomes on the one swing pass to the right side? How he I forget who he threw it to.
The no-look one.
And stride.
Yeah. God. It was the Conley dropped.
Yeah.
It was a no-look. It was ridiculous. He threw a no-look.
It was like magic, Johnson.
It was unbelievable. And it was on the money.
Uh-huh.
It was dead on the money.
Yep.
He throws a no-look. That was a basketball throw. Pass.
Yeah, it was Magic Johnson. You're looking to the left and going to the right. Amazing.
That dude. Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be really special. He's already special this year. And he's only going to get better.
What will he learn? Pocket presence and pocket awareness.
I thought he gained a little bit more of it in the second half, stepping up into the pocket. He threw a lot of balls away, though, in the game.
They're forcing him to try to step up. You saw it.
Yeah.
Because how they were shooting it, shooting the gap, you saw they were trying to force him to step.
Tain him.
To step right.
Yeah. Let's go to...
Romo did a great job talking about how you bait young quarterbacks to get flushed out of the pocket.
Oh, I told you, by the way, I was going to give you our poll that I put up. Because I put up a poll. Because I've seen it all over my timeline on Twitter. I'm seeing, Tony Romo's the best. Tony Romo, he talks too much. He's kissing Brady's ass, the whole thing, right? I'm seeing this through my timeline. So I said, you know what? My timeline's reading Romo's the worst, Romo's the best. So which one is it? Of the now 5,200 votes, Anthony, 85%. And granted, we're in Philadelphia. Romo is very good. 15% say can't stand Romo. I think he's tremendous. I think he's the best analyst to come along in that sport since John Madden.
He's the greatest.
You learn when you watch him, and he doesn't talk in a way that you feel like he's talking down to you. Like,
yes.
He's so relatable because it's not like cliche broadcaster sounding.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
he's the best. And you know what I love about him?
Passion, too.
The excitement, the appreciation of the game. Oh, my God. By the way, I think I've been saying Burkhart, thanks to B. West. I meant to say Burkhead. I actually know it's Burkhead.
Kevin Burkhart.
Kevin Burkhart.
Yeah.
I didn't even pick up that you did it.
I've been doing it because of the announcer. But I meant to say Burkhead.
Your good buddy Mike Garofalo tweeted this out after the game. Some owner, NFL owner, is watching this game ready to fire his head coach if Romo will take the job.
By the way, yeah.
he could be a great D coordinator.
He could be a great
whatever.
He's your head coach. He would be Belichick.
Did you see the Bryce Harper tweet?
I did not.
He goes, confirmed. Just called Tony Romo to see where I'm going to play next year. # you're a wizard, Tony. Bryce Harper tweeting.
You're a wizard,
trolling.
Tony?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He wanted to see if he could predict where he's going to play. Hopefully he said Philadelphia. We'll have to find out from Romo. Let's go to Pete and Mount Laurel on the Fanatic. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good. Hey, just want to touch on two things real simple and quick. Yesterday, great day of football. I mean, AFC and NFC championships, both down the wire. I mean, even if you're not a big watcher, even if you don't know a lot, great, great sport to watch yesterday.
Tremendous.
Second thing, the national anthem, Jimmy Buffett, I love it. You want to know why? Because he wasn't all about himself and trying to get the attention of himself singing that anthem. You know, I'll take that all day over, Fergie singing it again or something like that.
And over, kind of over singing it? Is that what you're saying, Pete? I didn't watch the anthem yesterday, so I didn't see Jimmy.
No, so he kept it very simple. He didn't get too fancy with his words. All that kind of stuff. Kept it simple, respectable, just like how the anthem should be sung. Like I said, opposed to Fergie's NBA All-Star performance, which was just horrendous.
All right.
I'll take simple all day.
All right, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Wow. Yeah. You went in depth in that, huh?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, honestly, hey.
I'm blown away by the football.
That's aggressively disinterested, to be honest with you.
I love Buffett. Little cheeseburger in paradise, Ant. You down with that? That's Andy's song.
No.
He's a big cheeseburger guy.
Yeah.
That call is about 40 seconds. I'll never get back.
Yeah, really. I don't. I like,
you said that. I was thinking it.
I'm looking at Jason with the. God bless, like you know, but I don't care.
Everything that happened yesterday, like, it's the least of my worries.
When you're watching football, the greatest football ever, and you're worried about Jimmy Buffett singing the national anthem?
No one cares.
Exactly. Patrick in Maryland's on the Fanatic. What's up, Patrick?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, good man. So it's funny because you're talking about the end of the game and Brady and giving him the time, and did they let him walk in? It was eerily similar, and I called last week about the Eagles. The 2-minute situation with Doug. It was eerily similar, except that I think Kansas City was further down the field at that point. They scored with like 2:03 left on the clock.
I remember, man.
Yeah. But yeah, no, those guys, I mean, and that's why it was funny. I was texting my buddy back and forth, and I mean, as it kept scoring, I'm like, this is not the last possession. I just had that feeling. And then you see the pick, and you're like, all right, even still. But then they obviously get called back because of the defensive offsides, which, again, is a heartbreaker, man. That's just.
Guy was lined up a foot and a half.
How does that happen?
Come on, man. Look down the line of scrimmage.
How does that happen? Oh, my God.
Well, and it's funny. Usually, like, Tom Brady is the guy who spots that right away.
Yeah.
And he knows he's got a free play, but I don't even think he saw it.
I know.
So it was kinda, yeah, it was nuts.
Patrick, that is crazy, man.
Real quick on the article, you know, I don't, you know, in this day and age, as someone likes to say, in this day and age of journalism and everything, I don't want to, you know, say the guy is, I don't know, maybe they're inflammatory or maybe embellished statements, but I heard the guy in the morning show and I'm just listening to him and it was odd. It was funny. He's like kept going back to Bob, like, cause Bob was a, you know, reporter recently. And it was like, he was seeking credibility for what he was saying. And I'm like, all right. So, you know, what about any of this is lining up? And none of it just seems right. And the timing's weird. Like, if it was the still in season, I guess it makes sense, or maybe later in the year, but it's like none of it makes sense at all. So what's the motivation to write such a story? You know what I mean? It just,
well,
it
to
all
me, to me, the timing isn't weird. That's what I think, something like that would come out if there was validity to it. I don't think it would come out in season.
You know what it feels like to me? It feels like that there's a couple of guys, maybe it's a player or two. Maybe it's someone around the team, I don't know, that's got an agenda or an axe to grind. That's what it feels like. I think the mistake in the story, and again, I don't know anything about it, was it's how it's portrayed, as though there's mass, you know,
dissent.
Yeah, mass dissension among the ranks with Carson. That's how it's portrayed. Like, that's how it's written. Like, it's written as though, you know, all the members of this team have a problem with Wentz. And I think that's the biggest problem with the story.
Yeah, and it's couched in the beginning. It says, over the past 2 months. So it is says multiple months from where we sit right now. So if you take that back, Anthony, it's mid-January now, pseudo almost late January. And so this is going back into November. You know, Carson wasn't even hurt at that shelved at that time yet. That's around the time when he went to the bench. But he's still playing Thanksgiving. 2 months back is Thanksgiving.
Dude, I don't know. I didn't hear anything like this. So
yeah.
I don't know.
He said spoke with more than a half dozen players plus other sources close to the team who all requested to remain anonymous.
But who are these players? You know, is it Alshon Jeffrey or is it some practice squad dude?
Yeah, we don't know.
You know what I'm saying, like that. I mean, yeah. that's where there's context. The context seems completely off.
Yeah, he said where some circles.
Well, I read it. I felt like context was off.
Yeah, he said some of the source players or whatever. Blamed Eagles' offensive failures on Mike Rowe. Not that Carson blamed him on Mike Rowe, but some of the people he spoke to blamed their failures on Mike Rowe. Numerous sources in and around the NFL, and the Eagles said they thought Wentz may have been the root of the Eagles' offensive problems. Said Rowe is a good coach who was bullied by Wentz, according to sources. The problem with the offense this past season shouldn't lie with Rowe. It should lie with Wentz, they say.
Bullied by Wentz?
See, there's something else here that I have a problem with, Anthony. It's a key word. It says that Wentz, according to sources, the problem with the offense this past season shouldn't lie with Groh. It should, quote, lie with Wentz, they said. They is a group. Multiple people. It should say, if that was the case, it would be one said or a specific source said.
Yeah, well, if you quote it, you don't quote they, you quote singular.
Because now they're attributing that quote to everybody that was sourced on
this. I said that to you. It's not plural. It would be singular.
610-632-0975.
It doesn't feel right. All due respect to the Joe.
Yeah, I know Joe a long time.
You know, we both do. And I feel bad because, you know, this is a story that everybody's going to be like, nah, I don't know about this one.
It's going to be met with a lot of skepticism, and a couple of players have tweeted out their responses to the story and flat out denial that this is even.
It's a lonely bridge, I will tell you. If you write such a story,
well,
now I will say this: to me, if there's a follow up, right? If Jeff McClain or any of the other beat guys come out and write a similar story. Well, maybe there's something to it.
They would need to corroborate it. And then, well, Philly Voice also responded to the tweets that several players put out. We'll tell you about that when we get back after this on the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's not right, Andrew.
That was me.
Sorry,
Andy. That wasn't right, but I just love the drop too much.
On the day after.
Yeah, I felt bad for Andy because I wanted to see him not only beat the Patriots, but just get to a Super Bowl, see if he could get back. I thought he had a good opportunity, and he'll have another opportunity because he's got a really good team, and they got weapons. And they got a quarterback that's going to be sensational. I saw a report this weekend that they were speculating that Patrick Mahomes will become the first $200 million quarterback. $200 million when he gets to get that big contract.
Yeah, you know. I mean, we know where salaries are at. You know, the importance of the franchise quarterback. And he's the most talented quarterback in the league.
To be that
young
good
quarterback
that early. I mean, he's in his second year. It's tremendous.
Again, he's still got some pocket presence, pocket awareness. He's just special, though. I mean, he's got his arm is ridiculous.
You brought up that sidearm throw, man. That was unreal.
He sees the pressure. He waits for the pressure to pass him when he makes the throw. But the no look pass was to Connelly was outrageous. My great. God.
He can throw every pass to the
touch. I'll tell you one thing. This is why football's great. The quarterback play is better now than it's ever been.
And they're staying healthy for the most part.
I mean, look at some of these quarterbacks. I mean, first of all, you're watching a GOAT, and the GOAT's ridiculous, right?
At 40 years old, he has lost no arm strength.
No, I mean, he still cuts it right through that wind. But, you know, you got guys like Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, I love watching him play. And Goff, who could throw pillows. Hopefully Carson gets back.
Well,
I mean, Carson, that list.
Yeah, I mean, look at some of the other young, like Darnold probably going to be a good one. Baker Mayfield,
Baker Mayfield, yeah.
I mean, these guys are entertaining. We bitch and complain, like, hey, you can't fall on him. You can treat him with kid gloves. Well, you're protecting him because that's why I want to watch. I don't want to watch backups.
I love Baker Mayfield.
Sorry, Tyrod Taylor, I got nothing against you, dude, but I'd rather watch Baker Mayfield all day, every day.
So I did a little exercise about with Foles. I think I had him at 16.
You ranked him in the league?
Yeah, somewhere around that. 16, 17?
16, you ranked him in the league?
He was top 20.
Yeah, I think I did it earlier. I think I had him like 15 or 16 as well.
I was just going through teams that, and like, I didn't count. Like, teams with young quarterbacks, you know, I didn't put Foles ahead of them because that's their young quarterback, right? Josh Allen.
You're looking at like a guy you would take ahead of him.
Right.
So, well, let's go Miami. You go there.
Yeah, I would take Foles over Tannehill, yeah.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Well, he's young with Josh Allen.
Or, yeah. The Jets, no, Darnold.
Again, yeah, I don't count I don't count those young quarterbacks because they're already, like, they're committed to those young quarterbacks.
What about in Baltimore? Where were you on that one?
It's the same thing. Like, that style play with Lamar Jackson, he's got to grow as a passer, but he's so dynamic as a runner.
Steelers, no. Cleveland, no. Cincinnati, yeah, you're taking Foles over Andy Dalton.
Yes.
The Texans, no. Colts, no. Tennessee?
Mariota? It's funny, but I think I like Foles over Mariota.
Bet you never thought you would say that.
Nope.
Way back when. Jacksonville, of course, and he could end up there. Kansas City, no. Chargers, no. Denver, yes. How about Carr in Oakland?
You know what? It's tough to gauge because
almost a push.
He had no offensive line. They like him a lot. I just know because my buddy's the analyst there.
And they paid him because they like him. Yeah,
and my buddy Lincoln likes him. He thinks he's good.
In the division, you're going to go Cowboys, Redskins, Giants,
yes.
All three.
Yeah,
and we'll see if he ends up in the division. Chicago, no. Minnesota. You're not going better than Cousins, are you?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. That was one I had as a push.
Really?
As an argument.
Wow. Green Bay, no. Detroit, no.
Yeah.
You're not going over Stafford, are you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at one point I would never have, but one guy's a winner and the other guy's not.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's Foles. He's a winner.
Saints, no. Falcons, no. Carolina, no. Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Over Jameis? Rams, no. Seattle, no. San Fran?
No. Jimmy G's is done.
And Arizona got a young quarterback. So, yeah, he's about in the middle of the pack, which is amazing that you had those two quarterbacks on your roster.
It's funny because Stafford, I always loved Stafford's arm, loved his arm. But how could you take Stafford over Foles when, you know, Foles is a winner?
One guy finds a way to win, the other guy seems to find a way to lose. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I don't know if that's Detroit and that franchise will poison you, maybe.
Well, Cleveland poisoned a lot of quarterbacks, but Baker Mayfield overcame that a little bit.
Yeah, no, he's a winner. Like that kid's a winner.
Yeah, he's gonna be a fun one to watch. He's just a gamer.
I love watching him play, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.